Hello everyone. Hello, hello. Hello everyone. Hello everyone. Hello, how you doing today? You are live on the Arthur Larry Tones Gospel Radio Show. Today we have guests. We have Marty Angelo. Marty Angelo. If I'm not mistaken, Marty began his career in a rock star band. Marty Angelo, he was 15-year television producer. Television producer. In 1980, he was arrested. Marty was arrested in 1980 on two counts of cocaine charges. Marty was then released in 1984. While he was incarcerated, he received a degree in ministry. Therefore, he could minister, and he ministered to the other prisoners there that was locked up with him. He earned his degree, and he's been in over 30 various ministries. He also helps with celebrities, and celebrities on drugs and alcohol. He reaches out to them. And Marty, he really changed his life around after he went to prison and he learned ministry. And he's written a book today. He's author of 9 books. He's written 9 books. And his recent book, Once Life Matters. Once Life Matters. Go ahead, Marty. Welcome to the Arthur Gospel Radio Show. And let the people know, bring the people up to date on your book. And tell them how you rock star, as much as you can. How do you rock star? You start out rock star. And you ended up, in prison. You turn your life around to ministry. Tell them how it all happened, Marty.
Yeah. Well, Larry, it's really a pleasure to be with you today, brother. Thank you for having me on as a guest. I wrote that book, Once Life Matters, A New Beginning, I started writing it back in 1982 when I was in prison. And, people kept asking me, tell us about your life in the music business, and tell us, and I tell them stories about what happened and how I wound up in the situation that I was in. And they kept saying, well, you should write a book, man. You should write a book. That'd be a good book. And so I thought, well, okay. I don't really like talking about the past too much. I try to make it so it's a motivator for keeping me moving forward. It's like a propeller on a boat, So the Bible says, if you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So it's good to listen to it and move and learn from it. Maybe somebody else could get something out of it. And that's why I wrote the book and included maybe a quarter of it was what it was like to be in the music business, and then what brought me to Christ, and then what Christ did to me afterwards. And so I've sent out probably about 60,000 of these books to all these prisons and rehabs around the country, give them away to various people when they get in trouble or are looking for help, or somebody contacts me. And it's amazing when I look back. I should really be dead, Larry. I mean, I honestly, the way that I was living, I deserve to die. And when they said, when these ministers told me I could be born again, I thought, wow, this would be great if I could be born again. I didn't know the meaning of what it meant at all. But when I when they were ministering to me, and when I after I had gotten arrested, looking at going to prison the rest of my life, that's a time when usually you can go either way. I've learned you can either curse God and blame everything on Him, or you can take responsibility for yourself and your actions or consequences of leading a life, and see if you could turn it around and make it for the better. And thank God I had family members that were praying for me, so that helped.
Right. So, yeah, family members. Right. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, if you got any questions, you can jump in there and ask me, but I'll just keep rolling along.
Was Rockstar Band. Where did you start out at? Is it what city? Could you tell us that?
Well, I was born in Buffalo, New York, and I got my start booking bands in college. I started in high school, actually. I was booking bands and having parties. And I would charge people a dollar to get in, and they'd listen to the band or listen to music, and they could drink beer, all the beer they could drink, for a buck to get in. And so that put quite a few dollars in my pocket. And I thought, wow, that's a good way to make a living. And so when I got to college, it was back in the 60s, you know, and that was back when there was the Vietnam War and everybody was protesting. Yeah. I didn't know what it was like to be that type of a person. You know, I was a pretty clean-cut kid. And I started meeting these professors at the university. It's kind of the same thing that's happening now, nowadays, where they're demonstrating. We had something to demonstrate about, but none of us wanted to go off and fight a war that we didn't quite understand. And so our professors made sure that they taught about why we shouldn't be there and why we should protest and make signs. And they gave us some of them gave us marijuana to smoke. And so we'd get all stoned out and go out there. So I used to start booking bands in college so that they could have they had these radical speakers that would come in to speak. They were from they disrupted the Chicago Democratic Convention in 1968. Jerry Rubin, Abby Hoffman, Bobby Seale, some of these guys from the Chicago Seven, they were called. So I would book bands in college, and they would come and speak. I had like the Grateful Dead and the Jefferson Airplane and Joan Baez and Bob Dylan, and they would come in and speak. And so I made a lot of connections that way. So when I started finishing school, I thought, well, this would be a good opportunity for me to go and continue to try to make big money. Forget the dollar to get in and all you can drink. I wanted to make the big money. And so I started off with bringing a band to New York City and getting a booking there through I met Jimi Hendrix, who gave me a chance to – he spoke up for my band to this club owner, which was a big club in New York at the time, and where all the music company executives hung around, all the rock stars hung around and drank and during that time. But after they did concerts, they'd go to this club and hang out. And so I needed to get in there so that my group would be exposed to them, and that's what Hendrix did for me. He got me in. And that kicked off my start in the big time, so to speak.
Did you say Hendrix? Excuse me. Now, did you say Hendrix? Jimi Hendrix?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. He gave me my first professional break. This was before Woodstock. I mean, this was before he became really big. After Woodstock, he became a superstar. But he had just come back from England. And he put out one album, and he was hanging out. He used to hang out at this club. And, you know, I boldly went up to him one night, and I said, listen, Jimmy, would you like to hear a good band? And he said, yeah, let's go listen to it. So I had a tape recorder with me. And he liked it. He spoke to the club owner and convinced the club owner to give my band a chance. And so they went in as the house band for a year. And all these music company executives came around and all these movie stars and rock stars, and I got in with that group, and they continued on later in life, continuing doing different projects in the music business.
Good, that's good. See, everyone, he got his, that was Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix, he said, gave him his first break. Do we have our co-host, Divine Love, online? Do we have Kenneth Taylor online? Okay. Divine Love? Okay, one of us. We'll go, he said Jimi Hendrix gave him his first break, and he began at Rockstar in New York. And after he went to penitentiary, turned his life around. He turned his life around, and he like you say, he's been over 30 various ministries, and he's written a book, Once Life Matters. His website, www.oncelifematters, tell me out with the other website, please.
Well, it's called OnceLifeMatters.com. That was the title of the book, is Once Life Matters, and the website is OnceLifeMatters.com, or else MartyAngelo.com. They both point to the same.
No, that's what it was. That's what it was. That's what I was trying to figure out. But thanks for helping me there. You know, we have anyone on the line. Anyone on this line would like to ask him anything, ask your guest anything. Anyone on the line, now is your time. Go ahead right now. On the line.
I would like to say something.
Sure. Who is it?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I was just saying I enjoy from what I've heard so far, and I was wanting to know about the book, Once Life Matters. What is in the book? Could you explain it to me?
Well, in the book is a story, is my life story. It's a biography of my life. And so, it's encouraging to someone that, that's struggling with their problems and situations that they can't control. So I try to make it available to someone, like if you had a friend or family or somebody that might be in jail or prison, and they, you want to send them something to witness the gospel to them. And so I try to, I have a lot of scriptures in the book. When I get to a situation that I don't understand, I use a scripture so that when I'm contemplating about my life. And so the scripture kind of helps clarify it. And then the person that's reading it gets exposed to scripture, not just my story.
And
my story is no different than anybody else's, but I've got a little bit more drama involved in it because I became successful in the entertainment business, and people have a fascination about what it's like to be in that business. And, it really isn't that much fun. So I try to give in the book, I try to make that known that it's not as great as everyone thinks it is.
Okay.
There it is. I got to jump in there for a minute. Do I have my Annette Toombs? Thank you. Wonderful words. That was wonderful. Wonderful words to Marty Angelo. He's a guest on the Author Larry Toombs Gospel Radio Show today. Do I have Divine Love online?
Yes, I am.
Okay, everyone. This is the co-host of the Author Larry Toombs Gospel Radio Show today. The guest is Marty Angelo. He began a rock star band, he was in television producer, 15 years. This was 1980 now, 1980. He was arrested on two counts of cocaine charges in 1980. He was released from the penitentiary in 1984. He earned a ministry degree while he was in prison. He preached to the other prisoners. He ministered to the other inmates while he was in prison. So there you have it. Go ahead and if you would like Divine Love and interview Mr. Marty Angelo. Go ahead, Divine Love.
All right. How are you today?
Hi. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing
Thanks
good.
Thanks for having
Thank
me
you.
On.
No, it's a pleasure. But Once Life Matters, it sounds like a good book. But like you say, it's your story. But the thing about me, I guess I haven't read it yet. But I guess I've lived it pretty much, though, when you talk about Jimi Hendrix and all the things that are fired, even within the penal institution. I never been to prison.
Uh-huh.
I guess I have one step from prison. But I guess, Marty, the thing that concerns me in this era, in this time, is unity.
Yes.
What would you suggest for the young people in the world today? I'm talking about black and white. I'm talking about all of them.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest today that they do or that could be done to unify the nation, to unify the people, the children?
Well, it's a good question because, when I was saying earlier to Larry that when I was in school, we were divided then because we were fighting against the establishment, we called it, where they thought they were right to go off and fight a war in Vietnam, and we didn't want to go, and they couldn't convince us that we should go, and we wanted to get an education, which is important. But, you know, the government always seems to divide us. You know, there's always these radical people that don't have a grasp. You know, I was as radical could be. And then all of a sudden, when I became a Christian, my whole life changed, man. All of a sudden, I started caring about things. Before, I didn't care a thing. That's why it's entitled the book, Once Life Matters. Because finally, when I became a Christian, my life started to matter. And so that's what brings unity, is you got to have some kind of faith to in your own life before you can get along with the guy next door to you. You know, the Bible says the greatest commandment of them all is to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, that blew everybody's mind, I'm sure, when Christ said that to people. I mean, they wanted to kill the Romans. Not much has changed over the years, you know. Black guys are fighting white guys. Black guys are fighting black guys. White guys are fighting gang members. Mexicans are killing each other. And I mean, it's a mess. And these kids are running wild in the street, just like I did back in I'm 70 years old now, but when I was in my 20s, brother, I couldn't care less about anything, let alone unity. I just wanted to do my own thing, man. That was what we were taught. Do your own thing. Now kids nowadays are all doing their own thing, but they don't have any foundation because they're not getting any foundation from their parents, or their parents try too late. You know, you're supposed to raise up a child in the ways of the Lord so when they get older, they won't depart from it. And most of these kids, a lot of them don't have fathers. When I go to prison, I go in these prisons. I've gone in just about every prison in the country, and most of the people that are locked up, black, white, or Mexican, are having a bad, bad relationship with their fathers. Most of them can't stand their fathers, or their fathers have never been in their lives. And so you've got a bunch of angry, angry people that are willing to take it out on anybody else but themselves. They don't want to change themselves. They want to blame everybody else for their problems. And that causes division. So the unity that I would think that's needed in this country is people need to get back to being a spiritual nature, understand that Christ lives today, can come into each and every one of us and change us from the inside out. You know, we got a bunch of people in this world that are expecting something to happen sometime in the future. So they're missing out what they can get from God today. They have what's called deferred hope, the Bible says. Well, deferred hope is no hope. You can't put this salvation off to someday in the future when Christ is going to come back again and set up some kind of kingdom over there in Israel. You have to accept the fact that Christ lives now. He comes and lives inside of people, that anybody that will call upon the name of the Lord. Once you get your life straightened out, then you can love your neighbor. Other than that, you're just going to – you have a hard enough time loving yourself, let alone having unity to care at all about your next-door neighbor or your friend down the street or the cop that's walking down the street or driving by in a car. You take your frustrations out on those people instead of trying to figure out what God's plan is for your life. Is that too much?
Well, it's not too much, but I have to say, in defense of the young people, you're correct about the division among the people. But then again, you have to understand that even with the penal institution, it is a racist system. We live in what I like to term institutionalized racism. You know, you spoke of the Vietnam War. Well, I'm RA for the Vietnam War. In other words, it was better than driving a tractor, you know, and you made more money. So to go to Vietnam, you know, you may have been at risk, but then again, if you lived in Mississippi, you were at risk anyway.
Especially if you were an outspoken
person. But now, in defense for our young people today, though, see, we teach. We have a ministry also that we deal with. It's termed Crusade Jesus Christ Ministries. But we deal with young people. I'm not trying to make slavery.
You're fading out on me, man. I can't hear you.
Well, we're not trying to.
There you go.
We're not trying to relate our differences. Young people, we are one people. You know, we are one nation.
Right.
You know, now capitalism, a democracy, America has failed. Now it doesn't matter whether it's Donald Trump or Barack Obama. America has failed because it failed to meet the needs of its citizens. Now, for the young people, we say, cognitive unity, it is your only deliverance. See, I'm going to say in America, the surplus here is Christianity. Mexican, Puerto Ricans, whatever you want to call it, but you get through with all of that, they're all Christians, and they all serve a different God.
Yeah.
Now, talking about in Christianity. So Christianity is the greatest tool. It's the greatest tool that Satan, the devil, has ever used to divide and conquer. So if you can divide a people, the old people against the young people against the old people, the male against the female, the black against the white, if you can do that successfully, then you have slavery at its best in 2017. So now I'm saying we must come together. I mean, we must come together and put forth truth. See, you understand, once life matters, then it does change the individual. But now the individual, instead of pointing out the differences, the difference, whether it be race, especially for black people, because in the prison and penal institution, 85% of those incarcerated are black in America. America is the biggest penal institution in the world. That's a reality. Now I'm saying to come together.
It all depends what state you're in.
Say it again, please.
It all depends what state you're in, because some states aren't. The percentages are a little different than what you're saying. But
America is America. Now I'm talking about, it doesn't matter from Los Angeles to Boston. I mean, from coast to coast. It's America. America is racist. America is like Sodom and allies with Gomorrah. I mean, they're evil bunch of creatures. I mean, we're talking today, but I'm saying the police in America, they've just gunned down a black person just because he's black. It doesn't change. Now, my thing is, what is the solution? What's the remedy? And what's the cure? See,
what do you
stand
think?
Out. Say it again.
What do you think?
Love is right. Love is right. Love is the answer.
Amen.
Unconditional love. Unconditional love. So you can't tell me you love me and you shoot down my children in the street. I'm sorry, America can't tell me that they love black people when they incarcerate black people and murder our children. They can't tell me that. So what I'm saying to you is, how can we come together to manifest the change that has already transpired, that has already taken place? See, we got to do something. See, don't sit sitting around talking about who's right and who's wrong. Racism is wrong. White supremacy is wrong. White privilege is wrong. It's wrong. So there's no justification for it. So what can we do as a people to change it as of today, as of now?
Well, I know it, what changed me, and I know, and I've been in prisons all around the country and spoke to black, white, Mexican, Puerto Rican, and I know what changes them. And so, the calling is upon all of us. You know, the Christian church has been, has their head in the sky, waiting for Christ to come and straighten all this mess out. When the responsibility is on each one of us. We're all ministers and kings and priests. You know, a lot of the church doesn't put the people in the right ministries that they're supposed to be in. You know, we're all called to do this, not just the guy or like yourself or Larry. You know, just we're sitting here hoping and praying that we can help the guy next door or to help the kids, the youth. You know, we're all of us are called to do that. We don't need to sit in some pew in some church building and just sit there and listen to one guy talk all day and then go home and, you know, go to the baseball game or go golfing or hang out. We're all called to. Everybody's missing their calling, their purpose, their main purpose in life. And so if everyone can learn this, and it took me going to prison in order to learn this, to get to the bottom in my life in order to find out what was my problem. And so if more people can understand that they're all called by God, they're not just some guy that's just going amen every time the preacher preaches, and the preacher goes home and He's got a big old Cadillac or something, and he's taking, fleecing everybody's money from them and giving them some kind of false gospel and making these people in bondage, giving their tithes to these people when there's nothing in the New Testament that says anything about that kind of stuff. We're all supposed to be out changing the world.
If I may right here, Christianity is a lie. I mean, all of the things they tell you. Listen very carefully. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been in the prisons. I've been in St. Joseph's Parchment. I've been all over this place talking to the people in the streets, in the church, anywhere. It doesn't matter to me. Cyberspace, it's all the same. But what I'm saying today is Christianity is a tool of the oppressor. See, you got 30,000 different denominations from one book. From one book, you got 30,000 different churches and people talking about we believe this and we believe that. All of you believe a lie. It's a lie.
Right.
Love is right.
So when you say it's a lie, you know, the denominational thing is what causes the division, but the lie is not a personal lie. If you have the living God of creation that comes and lives inside of you, that's what makes belief in Jesus the difference between.
But he's not there. See, he's not there.
Yes,
he's
he
not there. The
yes,
living
he
God
is.
Is not there. He's not.
Yes,
see,
he is.
Love is the God. See, love, L-O-V-E.
Hey,
Jim, he is God.
I interrupt you. We're just about running out. Just about running out. That's Divine Love, co-host Divine Love, and that's Marley Angelo. Marley Angelo, glad to have you on the show today. Author of One Life Matters, and I had to cut in there for a minute, but we got 2 minutes left, so we'll send it back to Divine Love. He wasn't finished. Go ahead, Divine.
Listen, let's do it again. Let's do it again sometime.
We got exactly out of time.
We
have 3 minutes left.
All right. Allow me to say before I go. In this reality, let love be your motivation. And let the truth be your inspiration. See, I'm talking about the young people. I'm talking to the young people now. Because sometimes when you get as old as I am, they say an old fool, there's no fool like an old fool. When you get to be as old as I am, see, it's too much stuff has transpired. But love and truth, they have not been here. See, I'm talking about unconditional love. Speak the truth in love and lie not. See, it's time for divinity. I'm talking about divinity, the Spirit of God, the Most High. It's time for the Spirit of God to be recognized among men. See, it's time. And all I'm saying is, Marty, I enjoy talking with you. I wish I could talk to you some more because I enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
But we have to come to a place, though, where we have to agree love is the only cure. See, I don't care what denomination, I don't care what church, I don't care if you're brother, Christian, I don't care what you are. Love is the only cure. Mm-hmm. And it has to be manifest. It has to be applied in our daily lives. And I really do appreciate
your time. 90 seconds.
Well, I thank you for the time. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Divine. Appreciate you, Brandon.
Thank you, Divine Love.
Okay,
thank you, Divine Love. Wonderful words from Divine Love. Wonderful words from Divine Love. Thank you, Divine Love, for coming on the show. Thank you, all. And their tomb, Marty Angelo.
Thank you,
Divine Love. Marty Angelo. Go ahead, Marty. Go ahead on and say what you got to say in your closing, and then I'll let you know.
Yeah.
You got 60 seconds. Go ahead, Marty.
Okay. Yeah, no, I appreciate you, man. We need more. It's a big subject that we're talking about here, and I agree with Divine that God is love. You know, we need to come to an understanding of love, and that's what changed me was the Spirit of God. And I was able to love myself and try to love my neighbor and trying to do that for the last 35 years. And I appreciate God for everything that he's done in my life. And I appreciate you, brother, for everything that he's done in yours and he continues to do in yours. And may God richly, richly bless you, man. I love you, brother.
Thank you, that wonderful word. Thank you, Divine Love. Thank you. And that tune, that's Marty. Angelo, he was a guest live on the Arthur Larry Tunes Gospel Radio Show, the co-host, Arthur Kent Taylor, Divine Love. Divine Love, thank you. We have 10 seconds left. Everyone, have a good day, and God bless you.
Have a good day. God bless
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Amen.
Bye.